Okay, so we're discussing the halachas concerning a husband's certain manchu rights he has in his wife. So let's now discuss the shayla. The shayla which was asked to a beis din, and the shayla goes like this. A married woman was working for many years in a factory. And the factory came into financial difficulties. And it asked its loyal staff whether they could forgo their wages for a month or two in order to put the firm back on the even keel financially.
The future wages or the wages already owed?
Wages which... this month's wages, yeah, meaning that beginning of January, they said, this month we won't be able to pay January's wages, and we would like you to forgo the wages for January, and whoever can will obviously help the company. So, this married woman was a loyal member of staff, and she decided to forgo her right to the wages for January. At the end of January, no paycheck was given because she volunteered, and the husband didn't realize that his wife volunteered for this service. And so when she came home without a paycheck, he questioned, what was this? He said, look, I gave up my right for this month's wages. Husband came, says, you didn't ask me first, and as far as I'm concerned, I would not have let you give up that right for the wages. Therefore, I'm making a tavia against the company that they still have to pay the wages. That's the shayla was asked to face. Are the company mechuyev to pay the wife's wages when the wife volunteered not to receive those wages, when now the husband is saying you had no right to volunteer something which doesn't belong to you? Because as we know, the halacha we've been learning is that the husband has got the rights to the wages which his wife collects, and therefore if he's got that right to those wages, then the company asked the wrong person. He asked Reuven, when in fact the wages belong to Shimon, they belong to the husband. And therefore, that's his case against the company. You still have to pay.
She didn't really give up the right to wages, because she had the right to the wages at the time that she volunteered. All she did was volunteer to work for someone for free. And the husband can't turn around and sue and say, you know, you should really pay my wife because she did that without my...
Who says you can volunteer to work?
You have right to wages. You don't have right to her services. What did we learn?
We learned that what the husband has a right, he has a right to the
A reasonable work week.
A 40-hour work week. And she is mechuyev to do a 40-hour work week. And whatever, to give that over to the husband.
He could taina his wife for that, but he can't taina the person she's working for free for that. He has no chiyuv to provide him 40 hours.
Now let me ask you like this. Let's put it like this. There is a cleaning company. And Leah works for the cleaning company. And the cleaning company has been hired to provide cleaners. So they provide Leah. Now comes the household, and they say, well, Leah, do you mind working for free this month? Yeah. Said, no, I don't mind working for free this month. Will the company who actually employ Leah have no right to go to the household and say, hey, what's going on? You're using my worker, you have to pay. Ah, Leah said, you don't have to pay. Who's Leah? She's mine! I am providing the service to you.
Because
you have to pay me because my wife is my service.
She's not.
How far do we take it?
Also, is there another thing you could say, meaning when you're working for a company and you're trying to do your best job as possible to make the company do well so that you'll get paid? Here, she's making a strategic decision. If I don't forego the wages, there won't be any wages for anyone, and then I'll lose my job.
So the husband, as a Rosh Katan, he says, I don't look about the future, I'm looking about the present. The present is, you, the wife, may be happy to volunteer your wages to the company which is going out of, has difficulty financial times, but I am not willing to forego those wages for this.
But that's her shtadlus, and that's her shtadlus to get...
Well, you made the wrong shtadlus, says the husband. Who has the right to decide whether the wages should be paid or not? I'm in charge of my wife's wages. You ask the wife to give up her rights. You ask the wrong person. I am claiming against you, the company, pay the wages for January because my wife works. You owe wages to her. She said she doesn't want to take to give you financial leeway. You ask the wrong person. I have the rights to that. You should have asked me. I'm not prepared to forego. So let's look at the first Maramukha. Let me ask you like this. The wages of a wife belong directly to the husband. That means when the wife works, which is part of your question, the wife works, is now wages due to the husband? Or is when the wife works, the wages are due to the wife and she just has to pass it on to the husband? Are the wages due directly to the husband when the wife works? The wife works, then the company that receives that work has to pay the husband. Or the wages due to the wife. The company has to pay the wife, and the wife has to pass it on to the husband. Is it one stage or two stages? So let's look at first Maramukha. Ish v'isha sheyesh lo baal shechov lezeh v'zeh. A man and a woman who was married, not to the man in concerns in this case, but there was a man and a woman who was married, who were fighting, and they hit each other and they damage each other. Not husband and wife, a man to a married woman. Lo abrinon shisham b'mosen lezik shodem. We don't say, well, the married woman damaged him $200. And the man damaged her, the married woman, $100. So what should we say? What should we say? Ask you. How much should be owed? From who to who? That should be. You owe me 100, I owe you 200. 200 minus 100. The wife, the married woman, owes 100 to that man. Yeah, that's what you normally say. No, we don't say that. Tahakasat mahachavola shachovo be'isha hila bala. Because the rights to the payment of the damages, a part of those rights, actually belong to the husband.
What do you mean part?
Meaning, the $200 which you owe, the $100 which you owe the woman for the damage that you caused to that married woman, out of that $100, $20 really goes to the husband.
Why isn't all, I understand all or nothing, but why in between?
Because medical expenses to make her better go to her.
Her?
Yes, because what's the money paid for? What's the purpose? To make her better. She's injured, to get her, look at the husband. Yeah, you pay the husband and she remains in the crutches. Yeah? You pay her in order to get her out of the crutches. So you pay the money to her. But damage for the fact that now she has lost work because she's in bed, or damage because she's permanently deteriorated in value because she can never properly recover, that goes to the husband. So some money which woman gets injured goes to the husband, and some goes to the wife. So we say over here, yes, she owes you 200 and you owe her 100, but you don't just take off the whole 100 from your 200 and say, now she owes you 100, because out of that 100 you owe her, you don't owe her, you owe the husband. So first of all, the man has to pay the amount of money which the husband's entitled to. Let's say $20. And Master Shatla Isha, the other $80 which you owe the woman, that you can deduct from the payments that she has to pay you. Okay. So we see over there that when a husband has rights in his wife, monetary rights in his wife, we see that it goes directly to him. It doesn't go to her and then go to him. Because if it would be going to her first and then she has to pass in, what would we say in such a case? She just has to give 100. Because I'm not interested in what you have to do with your money, but the Meister, you owe me 100. Yeah, I owe you 200, or the vice versa. That's how we have to work out the cheshbon. 200 minus 100. What you have to do, whatever you get, you pass on. You don't get, you don't pass on. But we see that when you damage a woman, at least in the monetary rights he has in the woman in respect to damage, they are direct duties to the husband directly. It doesn't go through the wife. If it goes through the wife, then you have to make it. The wife, if she's got any money of her own, if she doesn't, then you have to wait until she has divorce or death, whichever comes first. She has got a fee, but he has no fee to pay for. Correct. Don't think about making a business out of this. Maybe for this. Okay, so now, have I now got an absolute proof to our discussion that when it comes to wages, which also belong to the husband, halakhically, do we say also there that the wages are direct, clear, straight to the husband's? Or no, maybe that's different. It goes first to the wife, and then she has to pass it on to the husband.
Is this the right that the husband is entitled to the damages for the wife?
No.
It's not.
Okay. Have I got a proof from here?
No, it's the home, it's not wages.
Have I got a proof or not? What? Why?
Home and not wages.
Because you're paying damages to the husband.
Yes.
Either she's spending or he's lost income for the future or whatever it is.
You might have proof to wages that are already earned, but I don't think wages that aren't earned yet.
Okay. No, Sammy. Yeah. No, I did. What are you saying? What are you saying, Sammy?
The wages they don't exist. There are no wages to earn the claim.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, he could have objected at the beginning, but but he didn't.
What are the damages that you have to pay the husband? One, has a permanent deterioration, but also her temporary out of action for the work which she could have produced and now she can't produce. She's out of action for 1 month. So for the next month, she can't produce wages. Those wages which you can't produce, the husband has lost out and you have to pay him. So what do we see from there? That wages that the wife produces is a direct gift to the husband. Because it would be indirect, meaning it goes, no, wages to the wife and then the wife has to pass it on. Then why can't you just say, well, I have to pay you the wages, you've lost out the wages for the next month, but on the other hand you damaged me, let's make a kizutz, let's make a workout over the such things. So we may have a raya from him. So look at the Tzvar Avraham, number 2, and it says like this. If your chayav de shana hezek b'din agami, normally if certain in his case he's talking about you have to pay managers to a normal person because of gami. Abahani de'in chayav de shana hezekim, but there are cases where you don't have to pay damages. Could go b'cheres shot of a cotton. If an underage child A child under eight, who's under age, damages, you don't have to pay.
The child is not looking for pay.
What?
The child of damage is not looking for pay.
No, he is me'ikah din to pay.
Even when he becomes a godel?
Even he doesn't, the child may.
What?
Child, when he becomes a godel, may have a kiv.
B'nei
shemai.
Or
not.
Yeah.
B'nei ozim. Oh, the isha the maisiya de la bala, or woman who her wages go to the husband. Keshen eschad bekasitza shtayim shai chaska la bala. Therefore, when she does work, that work she does, you have to pay the wages straight to the husband. The en yochol ligvos memena hazeka. You cannot claim your damages from her wages. Because the wages go to the husband. So he says to Devar Ram that in wages, the halacha is the husband has rights to those wages. Not only has rights to the wages, the chiv of the wages is to the husband, not to the wife. And therefore you can never mekazez from those wages any damages which the woman owes you.
Does this only go up to the limit that we discussed last time of how much she's required to give you wages?
Yes, yes. Yes.
So he doesn't have to, so he can be mekazes if she makes more than the standard?
Yes. So, therefore, we seem to have got the answer. What's the answer to Ashayla? The answer to Ashayla, can, do we say over here that she has given up her rights to getting the wages for January as a favor for the firm, or do we say the husband has the rights to claim for the firm afterwards? What's the answer?
This husband has the rights.
The husband has the rights because the chiv of paying wages, we see, is directly to the husband. So you ask the wrong person when you said, please let me off for this month's wages. You ask the woman. What do you mean? The woman. You owe money not to the woman, you owe money to the husband, because wages which she produced goes directly to the husband. The proof is that she damages you, you still have to pay her wages to the husband. You can't say, well, you damaged me, therefore I'm because there's the wages.
She has the right to stop wages. She has the right to say, I don't want to work.
Husband can maybe force her. That's the next question. Yeah. He has to do 40 hours work, she has to. Yeah, for the husband.
And if she says, I don't want to do this work. She can clean, I don't want to do this anymore.
Okay.
Does she have a right to say that?
You ask, answer me, and not I answer you. We've learned.
Now, if she does work and she gets paid with the wage for it, yeah. I'm saying, does she have to do
what's her duty? To produce, not wait money. What's her duty? To produce 40 hours of labour. She has to do 40 hours of labour. Per month, she has to do 40 hours of labour. That's her duty to husbands. Not to bring in 5,000 shekels, but to do 40 hours of labour. So can she say this month, well, I'm taking it easy this month, I'm on chofesh, I'm not going to do 40 hours, I'm going to do 20. Is she allowed to do such a thing? No, she's more chayav to do 40.
So if she does 40 hours housework,
whatever she does, she's... Yes, correct. We just ask. Anything over and above 40 hours, he has no rights to. Well, it's a discussion with us, actually. We said that.
Yeah, what's the halakhic relationship between the company and the husband? The company's never seen this guy in his life.
Correct.
They don't know... Like, they have no relationship with
it. It's like to say that, like I brought the example of the cleaning company. The wife is working for you. You make your contract to the wife, but really, who's giving you all that powers and all that? It's me, the husband. I have the rights for her work. She is working over there, producing money. That money and work are really mine, and therefore, whatever you agree to her is automatically basically agreeing to me. And therefore, the chiyav of paying those wages is really the husband, not to her.
So she volunteered to work for free. If she would have refused to, then what would have been the outcome? They would have paid her, or she would have lost the job?
No. Some people in the company didn't offer to help. They were asking. They weren't saying, you give up your wages, or you don't get outrageous, then we'll fire you. That's what we're going to say.
So first thing
is against the law. Such a thing. Yeah? And they have a union and it won't work. Yeah, everyone will be on strike. Secondly, the company wasn't like that. They had a relationship with their workers and said, look, we're in financial straits. You want to help us out? Advice, help us out, because then we'll be able to keep going, and then when you keep going, you'll be able to keep your jobs. If we fall under, then obviously you fall under. Please come and volunteer your help by giving up your wages for this month. Yeah, that's how the company...
And if they said no, then they would have paid a regular.
Yes, and they did, so other workers. Yeah.
So according to what you're saying, though, if that's indeed the relationship, then there would be no issue at all selling because they're not paying them on time. Because the worker is not the same one that's entitled to the paycheck.
Ah. Yes, there is a discussion about this. We're going to discuss it. Now the next question I asked you on this case. Okay. What she does, wages, could due to the husband directly. Correct, okay. When she's working, like the husband working, understand. But what happens if she says before she starts working, I'm not working, I'm doing it for free for you. Is there here of the company then to pay the husband in such a case? She says, I'm doing it before the work, not after the work. If after we've proven that if she's already worked, for sure, if she's already worked, wages are due, they're going to ask her, they ask the wrong person. Because that wages belong to the husband. But do we say the husband's rights are so much, like everyone was already suggesting over here, that, you know what, he can actually decide whether she works or not, and if she's working, then automatically you have to pay wages. Even before the work starts, he can say, no, you're asking the wrong person when you're saying she volunteered the actual work itself.
I mean, if someone like takes on a job as an intern?
Let's take it a more extreme example. Your wife decides to do a favour for your neighbour. The neighbour says, look, I'm looking for an apartment to rent for my daughter. Just got married. Do you know of any apartments? The wife next door says, yes, I know of apartments. Over there, across the road, I know there's an apartment available. Yes, they actually end up renting that apartment. Comes along, the husband, I'll tell you like this. Comes along, the husband says, pay agent fees, please.
This was an intern?
Yes, pay agent fees.
How long were they married? How long were they married after the intern?
So what do you mean? I'm your neighbor, and I understood that this would do a favor. She said, no, I'm not doing you any favours. You got the apartment, pay. You went to that apartment, which was suggested by my wife, pay agent fees. So they came to Basin, and the Basin asked the woman, the wife, when you were giving the suggestion on that apartment, were you in your mind to act as an agent, or was you doing it as a chesed? So she said, I was doing it as a chesed. My husband is not doing for chesed. So that's the question we're asking over here. Does the husband have a right to decide what his wife does? Is a chesed or is a job?
Companies aren't causing damage for loss of earnings. So the question is,
all we've seen up to now is the husband has got claims for damages of loss of earnings. Earnings that she owed belong to him, and if he loses those earnings, therefore you've lost to him. But what's defined as earnings? Is this earnings or this chesed?
So, according to the way you were describing the original case, she was doing a chesed also.
So I'm asking, no. Does the husband have a right to stop his wife doing chesed and say, you can't do it, you have to do it as a job?
It depends if it's within the 40 hours. If she already has a 40 hours worth of work and now she's doing chesed, then he doesn't have a right. But in the other case, that was her 40 hours she was doing chesed for.
let's action whatsoever.
If she did not work 40 hours that week, and she was sleeping all week, and then she comes up to your wife
and says, "Can you tell me the time? I'll come in." Everybody, where is it? Where is Paul Gavin?
Eric, the thing is, shouldn't you ask for? Because there's no such job in the country, I know over here, of charging people to tell the time. There is such a thing as agents. Now, you may not like it, but an agent is a job, and a job, what they do is just pass information on and say, hey, there's an apartment over here. That's all they do. And if they only do that, and do nothing else, they still get all the agent fees. They do 1 second of work.
Agents, and they have a place that says they're going to be backed up by law, saying the information they give out.
So the halacha says by agents, when we do go into shatchonis and agents, which will have a whole different shirim for that, the halacha is, even if you're not a qualified agent, and even if you're not officially registered agent, and even if according to the laws of the country you can't act as an agent, but you actually do the service of an agent, you're still entitled to be paid because you are halakhic considered and do work as an agent.
You have to notify the person you're doing it. You can't do it by the back door giving some nice information and come along to them and say, oh,
we'll discuss that, but the halakha is you don't.
It's just cheating, it's just hung over, it's my job, you won't be money.
You'll understand it better when we get to those two. Your expression will change. Now, firstly, I'm going to ask a question over here. Is that, can somebody change halfway through and say, well, I was doing for chesed, but now I've decided I'm not doing for chesed. You have to pay.
If unanticipated work is involved,
I'm doing work for you. The work which normally gets paid, and I said, yes, I'm doing this chesed. And then halfway through, I change. And to get round to Eric's social problems, yeah, I didn't actually ever tell you I was doing this chesed. You actually understood I was doing it as a job originally, but in my mind I had it as chesed. And then halfway through, or at the end, I said I'm going to charge. So you thought always I was going to charge, and end up saying I'm going to charge. But what happened at the beginning was I was really, when I did the job, only in giving, I was really intending for chesed.
That's just
can I change like that? And actually charge in the afterwards.
That's so just over MS Gavaro. I mean, if he was under
the... I'm saying telling the whole truth. At the beginning, you understood I was charging. I was actually giving the work, and at the time before the work, I was doing it for free as a chesed. Afterwards, I had a fight with my husband, and my husband said, you can't do this for free. Charge her like she thought you were going to be charged. Get the money which you deserve. We need the money. Can you do that? Can she now go and say, yes, I want money, I never tricked you, for the work which I already performed. Yes.
So if it's only that it was in our heart, it's Lam Shabalev, it doesn't mean anything.
So you say yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Let us see the Nesivus number 4. Nira Dafka Mechila Adova Shekvar Mishchaev Lo Mahan. To do Mechila on something, you're saying, you know, you owe me money. Yeah, then it doesn't help to do mechil. Yeah. Avu b'tar mi or ochel mi shomer shei b'tat lim cholo vata mahani machshav so tav genosel matona b'shasas. But to say before the work is performed, yeah, I'm going to give you something, and I never tell you this, but in my heart, I say I'm giving it as a present. Vadai helps that machshava, and it's like giving a matana to the person when you perform that work, and to do then claim money afterwards would be considered getl. Says this. If you've done the work with kavana to get paid, and in your heart after doing the work you said, I'm going to let him off, but you didn't tell anybody, that's called mechila belev, you can, it doesn't have any effect. You can change your mind and still go and charge for the person because you never told him. You went backwards and forwards. You can go back and say, but if you say the Rosh before to yourself, not anyone, in your heart, before you've produced the work, I'm going to give this away, then that's all called Mechila. That's giving a matana. And as soon as you do it, you've given it to him. Once you've given something to him, can you take things back? If you give somebody a physical matana, can you give it back? Take it back? Can you say, I changed my mind? No? So this, when you're performing work, it's like giving matana. You've already done the job with intention of not charging. So you've actually physically given him a benefit, and now you want to take it back? How can you take a present which you've already given him back?
He has received it.
I've done the work for him.
Only a part of it.
No, it's the whole work.
But where does he say he's talking about a case where the person who says Dori me thinks he's going to be thankful? Where does he say that it's talking about where he thinks he's thankful?
He's talking about that case because he says if you've already done the work and then you say in your heart, I'm not going to charge, you can still charge him. That's what he says, the first line. Second line he says, but if before you do the work you say, I'm not going to charge for this work. That's giving him a matana. When you actually do the work, it's actually giving him a matana. You can't suddenly change. Oh, I'm going to charge you now. You've already given it to him. You can't take it back. And if you do, then that's called gezel. Even if he never knows about it, it's called gezel.
Maybe she had no right to give him a matana. It's like a cleaning service.
That's the second question. But we see from here, that is a difference from before starting the work to after performing the work. If before the work, I mean, it's considered, I'm doing a chesed. I'm giving you a present. It's not that I've done work and I'm letting you off. It's like I've never charged you. You're never obligated to pay in the first place. Once I've done the work and then I want to let you off, that means you owe me money and I'm letting you off. So he's saying there's a difference from before the work is performed and after. Before is, there was never an obligation to pay. Afterwards, there's an obligation to pay, but there's a release. Yeah? So now let's ask with the husband. If she's already done the work, and therefore wages are already due, then who are they due to the husband? So if you ask the wife for a release, you're asking the wrong person, because who needs a release to the husband? Because wages are already due, and the wages go to the husband. But before the work it starts, she says, I'm not doing it as work, I'm doing it as a chesed. That means that I, as an employer, doesn't have now any obligation in the first place paying you. You're not releasing me, you never charged me. So then we just ask the question, has the husband got a right to say over there that I own her hands and she has no right to say my hands are giving a mother to me? That's the question we're left. He, for sure, if she does work and wages are due, they go straight to the husband. And he can release, but she can't. But if she says, I'm doing chesed and not do work, has he got a right to say, I own the hands, and those hands can't do chesed? They have to do work.
There's
as
no
the husband.
There's no kinyan on work.
So the answer is, as we saw 2 weeks ago, that he has no actual ownership on her hands. The husband never has ownership on her hands. Doesn't own her hands, and whatever that hand produces is his. Doesn't work like that. All he has is that if the hand produces, then he has rights to the money which it produces. But he doesn't own the hand itself. Therefore, since he doesn't own the hand itself, she can decide whether I'm doing chesed or not chesed with this hand. This hand is a chesed hand or is it a work hand? I decide it's a chesed. So you've done chesed. Done chesed, no wages are due. I, the husband, may now have a claim that you haven't done 40 hours. Fine, it's got nothing to do with me.
We claim against her.
You got a personal claim against your wife. Sort it out with your wife. She didn't do her duties to you. But you have no actual ownership over her hand to decide that hand was not chesed. No, you don't have rights to that. she could decide it's chesed. Maybe she's wrong for doing that because she's damaging her husband by doing that. And she can have a din Torah with her husband. But the hand doesn't belong to the husband. She could define what she actually did. It was a chesed hand. If it's a chesed hand, wages were never due. And wages were never due. Therefore, I don't have to pay. And that was the... If there's now din Torah, husband's wife, and they work it out, you're only on top 35 hours this month. 5 hours you've lost me this month. Therefore, I don't owe you any mezonos, because you're supposed to do 40 hours.
That's going to be a shmita.
Who are these people talking about?
Zivik Shlishi. Now, let's move to the second side. Second side is like this. Allah Shaila Lamaisa came to base. A woman, a married woman, she happened to be the one that supports the house, because the husband was learning. And she worked as a secretary, let's say. And she got paid 2,500 shekels a month. Good job. Low paid work. Yeah, very low. And what happened was that she took advantage of her position and she had access to the phone of her workplace. And she built up a bill on the phone for non-work purposes of 2,000 shekels. Came to business. So now, what does the firm want to do? Look, we owe you wages of 2,500 shekels. But you owe us 2,000 shekels for the damages, the stealing, the ganeva you did for that phone. So we only give you 500 shekels this month. Comes the husband to Basin and takes the couple to Basin and says, what are you doing? My wife works. Yes. You owe 2,500 shekels? Yes. So give 2,500 shekels. You owe me money, 2,000, not to my wife. I see damage? That's your tittoe of her, got nothing to do with me. 2,500 shekels to me. 2,000 shekels she owes you. Where's she got? If she gets money, she owes money, she can pay you. Nothing doing, you still have to pay the 2,500 shekels. You got the kazes like that.
It's an argument.
So what we learned is, who do you think it sounds correct over here?
Husband.
There's one reason why I would say not. She's supporting the husband, right?
Yes.
So, actually, mezonos of aleha, not mezonos of aleha. So you wouldn't have this.
So do we change the halachas in the case where the husband is not working? And not bringing money into the house, and not actually paying for the food and the clothes which are being provided, and it's really the wife who is working, who's using that money to support the household. Do we say then that the money which is produced is not entitled to the husband? Or do we say then, no, it's still entitled to the husband?
Yeah, why would you change it? He has the right to the money, and he still has the thing to provide the mezonos. It's a double transfer.
There's a halakha.
So you're saying double transfer. What do you mean double transfer?
Meaning
the money goes to the husband.
Money, and then he has a chiyuv to provide.
And then he gives the money back. Yeah, so that's the other side of the scenario.
I'm saying there's an implied agreement of mezonos IOI, and I keep my own.
So the two sides of the coin. Okay. Let us look at number four. Shulchan Aruch says like this, in the Summer Test, in Ebenezer, Sifdalet, Maisa Yedeh Kenegan Mezonesa. Your husband's entitled to her wages if he supports her. Lefichach, therefore, if Omra, if she says, Eina Mezonus, the Eina Osa, don't support me and I don't give you wages, show me law. She can do that. She has the right to do that. He's entitled to our wages since he supports her. But she says, don't support me, I don't need your support. Keep your support, I'll keep my wages. The halacha is, she can do that and she keeps her wages. Now, that's if she speaks it out. What happens if she doesn't speak it out? It's just naturally, that's how the house seems to be running. Meaning that she's bringing the money in, he's not working, and the money which she brings in is supporting the house. Do we say that implicit in that setup is the scenario of don't support me and I'm keeping the wages myself? Or do we say, no, still there's a transfer going to the husband and it's going back to the wife? It's just naturally happening like that. Do we say, you have to speak it out? Or do we, this situation actually implies it? So this question was asked to the Maharit, and the Maharit says like this. She'isha kazos, a woman like this who's supporting the house, ein labala zuchus b'chol asher osas ha'chayim. The husband has no rights to any of the wages she does. Ki ma'achas shu ein mala mezunas, for the fact that he's not actually bringing money in to give her food, adraba, ima kakeh says, father, forget, she's supporting her husband, she's feeding her husband, ves b'nei and the children, ves kol asher atah b'bayis, and everything in the house, ein dal zotah b'mayis yadeh. So the husband's got no right to the wages. But ain't suicha lefarish. Bistam, even if you don't speak it out, just that's natural. But ain't suicha lefarish veloma ain't zos and etzim. She doesn't have to actually speak it out that, you know what, I'm not, don't support me and I don't give you the wages. She doesn't have to do that. It's just natural. So kol she ain't about zona, if the husband doesn't physically bring money in and support her, zocha b'maisia there, she is entitled to her, keep her wages.
This is talking about even if he's just stam unemployed, not that he's sitting and learning. This is talking about even if he's just stam unemployed, not if he's sitting
yes.
and learning.
Yes, makes no difference. If at the end of the day she's working, he's not, she's bringing in the wages, and she's got not getting support from him because he's doing nothing, then the natural scenario is, even without speaking out, is don't support me, and I'll keep the wages myself, even if she doesn't speak it out. So if so, in the case over here, the Avreich's wife is not getting supported by her Avreich over here. She's bringing all the money in. If so, then she's entitled to the wages. If she's entitled to the wages, not the husband, then if she damages, what do we say? How much money does the company have to give her? She damages 2,000 and the wages are 2,500. How much do they have to give her? Only 500. Hi, the husband, what are you talking about? The wages, not, you've got no right to the wages. You don't support her. So the Chazon Ish puts a restriction on this halacha, as you see in number 6. Before we do this, I just want to give some brain activity. Is this so poshut that you have to be argue against your own son? Is it so poshut what the Marit is saying? Is it so clear and it's obvious that he's unemployed, she's employed, and the setup now is she keeps her wages, doesn't go to the husband?
No.
Without reading the Chazon Ish inside.
I don't think it's so poshut to the extent he says it. Because he's saying even if there's not an employed agreement, just the fact that he doesn't give wages, the fact that he doesn't give support potters her from paying him over. I'm saying that if there's an implied agreement of any zonas, that it would work.
So when do you have implied agreements? Without looking at the Chazon Ish, where would you have the implied agreements?
Like when we're the husband sitting in
the morning. Let's put it to the stream now.
We're sitting in the morning.
Let's put it to the stream. The husband's been working always. This month he's lost his job.
So I would say
so this month he's not entitled to her wages, and in 2 months' time when he gets the job, then onwards he is entitled to wages. Do we take the Marit to that extreme? Whenever he's unemployed, even for 2 or 3 months, then you're not entitled to the wages and she's entitled. Or do we limit the Marit to a specific example? And if we do, you have to give a logic to it. And what is that example?
So I would say the Marit would say that, yeah, for that month she'd be potter. That's not what I was saying.
What would you say?
I would say no, because that's not... when he got fired, he didn't make that condition of his life. When I go sit and learn, we discuss, okay, I'm going to learn, you're going to support.
So you're saying that Avreich is a specific example, because Avreich has been saying... I am not going to work now, and therefore the duty is upon you.
Right.
So that's an implied agreement.
Right.
So
why don't we say that?
So let's take it to an extreme. a person's been learning and working for the last 20 years. Yeah, from the time he got married, 24 to 44. Yeah. 44, he says, I had enough of working, I'm going to learn now. Yeah. You work, I'm going to learn. Yeah. So, now at 44, up to 44, he's been providing support. He's entitled to her wages. Now from 44 onwards, he says, I'm going to learn. That means from 44 onwards, even without speaking out, you would say there's an implied agreement which says, since I'm not supporting you now, therefore the wages are yours, and they've got nothing to do with me. That's what you would say.
Correct.
Okay?
Not necessarily. Yeah. Depends on their circumstances. What's happened over the last 20 years? Here is the last 20 years, it's been secure. It's like they're starting from scratch. It's another situation.
Okay, so you'll basically agree, but if they're still living off his money for the last 20 years, then he's still entitled. But soon it runs out, then you agree to him. Then you agree. It's a matter of service.
What about if you decide to take a sabbatical for a year? I'm going to take a year out now to learn. So during that year, so we don't...
So most going to less that. The matters would also agree over there. Sabbatical.
If you have no other money than what the wife is bringing in, yeah.
So for that specific year, then we change for any year's time?
Yeah. Why don't we see that based on the ksuba, that the husband has an obligation always to provide for her, and all the rights of, you know, there is...
She agrees. She said, Go learn. Fine. I'm not to argue. You go learn. Look, sure. I want you to learn.
So he still has to have his obligations.
Fine, like she says, you don't have to. Does that mean he's saying, when she says, go and learn, that means, go and learn, I'll bring the wages in, but since you're not learning, which I don't mind, but the wages now belong to me, or does it mean, go and learn, I'll bring the wages on, and you still get the wages? So, according to Matis, it means the implicit agreement is taking place, is that, go and learn, I'll bring the wages in, and the wages belong to me, the wife.
Because his obligation is to make sure the wages are provided for. Either by Daim Shali, or my father-in-law, or meaning he's going to make sure it's there. And
you're
now I have my wife earning
it.
We have the Farish case where she says it would be some Farish, that's a different story. But
no, I'm saying.
So there's a place for Farish, she's saying.
Beyond saying it for Farish, though, I'm saying it should be that he's doing his job. He's making sure money's there. How is money there? She's working. That's one way.
But the Marit didn't say that. But Matt is saying, okay, we don't take the Marit to extreme, we take it to one at learning. Because then it's a learning automatic implicit. Okay? Eric, when you sit, so are you still living off the old? But as soon as you're not, then fine. Yeah? Everyone else, all quiet. My Yad Yamin is fine.
It's very interesting. They're not 40. Are you 44 yet? Okay.
They're still. What is working?
Okay. So the cousin says like this. In the middle, just at the beginning of the first line, Be'ikah halacha is Nira, the call shetachilas malochta b'shashikva ochula mishabala koma she'osa habilabala. If at the beginning of marriage, we look at the beginning of marriage, if at the beginning of marriage the husband was supporting, anything afterwards, the husband's entitled to the wages, unless she speaks it out before. Bein shu adaf bein shu mitzi. And therefore, when now she does wages, even if now later in marriage he's not working, but beginning of marriage he was working, but later in marriage he's no longer working, if she doesn't speak it out, it carries on the system that the wages gives to the husband, and the husband now passes that back automatic like a cheshbon bank, and that's as if he's supporting, like you said.
But the Chazon Ish say this even.
So therefore we conveya, not like the Marit simple explanation, but sure not, which you also disagree to. Just stumble out of work for 2 months. Mm-hmm. And not like Matz's explanation that there's implicit agreement even in the middle of marriage or when you go out and but the Chazon Ish, everything is dependent when the commitment started. When was the commitment started? That's when they under the chuppah. Under the chuppah there's kiyuvim that are created. I have to support you, and you have to give me my wages. Fine. If that was the agreement, because I am actually working at the beginning, then it stays like that agreement until you say it in writing. Like every contract, it says, this is the agreement of terms. If you want to change the terms, you have to write them down and send me to the address. Yeah? If you don't speak it out, you want to change the terms from the time underneath the chuppah? You have to speak it out. If you don't, then naturally wages go to the husband until it's spoken out.
He sounds like he's saying what Eric said.
What?
Yeah, what if the husband starts working after 5 years?
And then he decided to work.
No, because it doesn't work for that opposite. It doesn't naturally work.
Meaning, as soon as he starts working at that point, the Kanalova.
Yes, because he's the Meister supporting him.
Whenever he starts. Meaning, it's 3 years later, 5 years later. As soon as he starts, at that point, the Chazanish will be.
Nah.
The Chazanish sounds like what Eric says, because he says she's. When she's Nizonis, may also a Rebbe.
She. No, not the Rebbe. Also, a Rebbe. She created. If you look in the Holozoi, not that. She's creating now from her work.
She's creating now?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
So, now let me throw out the last question like this. What happens at the beginning of marriage, which is what the case was over here, the beginning of marriage, she was not working, and he was also not working. The couple got married, they've been learning. Who's working? The parents are working! The grandparents! Cool then.
That's for sure the husbands.
So the grandparents are supporting the couple. What's the status of such a marriage? Does the husband entitled to the wages when she does start working because he supported her up to now through the grandparents or not?
Yes.
It's when the grandparents giving money like the husband giving money, and therefore she is entitled at the beginning of marriage to her wages, and if you want to change status quo, you have to speak it out. Or do you say he never actually in his life of marriage ever worked? Do we look at what he is or what the must?
That's totally. The gifts that she gets in marriage belong to her or to the
husband?
To the husband?
Yes.
So according to the Chazanish, it would go to the husband.
Yeah, so what does anyone else have to say? From that, this will finish.
Yeah, he's providing. He's made sure it's there.
He's not providing, but that's...
He's arranged for you.
His parents are husband.
He hasn't arranged.
Oh.
Parents arranged.
What are you saying, Eric? Speak it out so everyone can hear your wonders, your wisdom.
If it's his parents, it's like it's coming from him.
He married well. He chose.
That's why I asked.
Good one.
Why married? He married a woman who works. If he married a woman who's rich, he also chose.
That's different. That's how you're dying.
So the Pesukei Teshuva says like this. Pesukei Teshuva in the Ebenezer says like this. If it's the husband's parents are supporting, for sure it's like the husband's supporting. And for sure, it's he gets the wages. And if you want to change that agreement any time in life, she has to speak it out. If it's the wife's parents who are giving the support, machlokas. Some say it's still the husband's. Because he married well. And some say, no, the wife's parents are giving support. Why is the wife's parents giving support? The father of the bride is giving support of the color because he's giving money to the color.
But when he gives money to the Kala, it's going to the husband. Oh, so that's what I'm asking.
Licked in, like it's tonight. Like I want it to be as hers as
so
much as it can be hers.
Then it would be wrong to the wife if it was Amanat Shein.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so that.
Kailu.
There I can't.
So therefore, we look at it and see the husband never supported. It's really the wife always supported, and therefore the agreement from the beginning of marriage was the wife doesn't have to give her wages over.
There I think.
But some say not.
You'd have to say.
Machlokas.
Machlokas. In the family.
So what was the case in this case? The case was that in the beginning of marriage, it was the wife's parents who were supporting.
But the almond.
The wife's parents supporting. So wow, now tell me what's the halacha. The wife's parents are supporting.
Machlokas.
Machlokas, if it belongs to the husband's or belongs to the wife's now. If it's the wife's
that's
parents.
That's if they know where everyone money is. Her, not him.
Doesn't?
That's if they specify that it goes to
no,
them.
No, if you're not being spoiled out. Nothing. So, machlokas goes to husband's or to wife. Now we're talking about this month's wages. And we say 2,500 shekels is due. Who are they due to? To the wife or the husband? says the company, I hold it's due to the wife.
The company still
and therefore,
money.
I'm only going to pay her 500 shekels. The husband right. said, no, I hold it's due to me, and therefore you have to pay the 2,500 shekels. What's the halakha?
500.
Where the money
is. Where the money. You only have to pay 500 shekels. Half halakha. See you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Nothing to think about.
Moshe Shonei. Et hasiva v'chasima teva.
It's doing very well. It's going to be